earlier today, and thank the Lord for giving me another opportunity to share from His Holy Word. You know, every time I stand up here, I'm very conscious of the fact that what I say needs to be in line with the Scripture and what God's leading is, and so there's always that pressure and always that that's something that I'm very conscious of. But there's also another thing that puts a lot of pressure on me, and that's my family. So my wife puts a lot of pressure around the time and how much I talk, and my kids put a lot of pressure around my pronunciation of different words. And so I'm dreading the ride back home, where I'll be getting all that feedback. So pray for me on these two aspects, if you get there. So I'd like to share today a topic that's been very close to my heart, and I will introduce that through a real story from 28th century England. The story goes this way. This is not a story, this is a real life situation. You know, it was a bright morning in 28th century London. It was a Sunday. But Robert Robinson's mood was anything but sunny. He was standing in the midst of a big crowd, and if you think about those days, Sunday morning, 28th century, people would be hurrying on to church. He was hearing the church bells ringing, people rushing to get to church. But Robert Robinson was a lonely man. When he heard the sounds of the church bells, it reminded him of the years past when his faith was strong, and the church was an integral part of his life. But it had been years since he had set foot in the church. His years of wandering and disillusionment and gradual defection from the God that he once loved. He had loved God very fiercely and passionately. But that had all burned out, and he was dead and cold within. So as he's standing there, he hears the clip-clop of the horse-drawn carriages in those days passing by, and those were the taxis in those times. And so, he puts his hand out to get a ride, and as the carriage comes close, he sees there's a woman sitting in the carriage, and so, he steps back. But the woman said, asked the cab driver to stop, and asked him to join her in the cab. And she said, "Are you going to church?" And he started thinking, "Yes." And he said, "Yes, I'm going to church." And he stepped into the carriage, sat beside the woman. And as they were going, Robert Robinson and the woman exchanged introductions. There was a flash of recognition when he said his name, because she said, "Oh, this is an interesting coincidence." And she reached into her purse and she pulled out a small book of inspirational verses that she'd been reading. And she handed the book to him and said, "Hey, I've just been reading a verse by a poet called Robert Robinson. Could it be?" And he said, "Yes, I wrote those years ago." And she was so happy, and she said, "Oh, how wonderful. I'm sharing the carriage with the author of this very lines." But Robert Robinson, barely heard that. He was so absorbed in the words that he was reading. These words would one day be set to music and become something that we are all very familiar of. It's a great hymn of faith and familiar to many, many generations of Christians. So if you turn your hymn books to the Black Hymn Book, to hymn number 10, it's the hymn that we are very, very familiar with. Robert Robinson was the author of that hymn. And it's, "Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, calls for sound of loudest praise." Right? We know that hymn very well. But Robert Robinson's eyes turned to the last lines, where it said, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O God, O take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." And, he could barely read through those lines. And, tears filled up in his eyes. And he said, "I wrote those words. and I've lived these words. Prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love. And I thought about it in my life and in our lives, you know, about how true it is for our lives. Now, we may not walk away from the church and, you know, spend time without church. Maybe we, you know, they're extremes, right? You know, we have people we know who have walked away from the church, who have been disillusioned by things maybe they have seen or experienced. But we think about our lives and our walk with the Lord. There are many times that I can look back and see that periods of where I've walked away. And again, walked away doesn't mean walking away from the faith. It's, you know, the fierce love and our involvement that we have in our hearts and how much that has dimmed over the years. And I think it's an important reminder for all of us, and as we think, see things around that is happening, that we should really be mindful of. So I want to spend some time and go through that. It's a subject that I have been spending a lot of time, I don't know, maybe 3-4 months now, you know, just trying to read more about it, understand more about it, and examine myself most especially about it. So today we'll anchor our reading in Exodus chapter 32. So we'll anchor it there, and we will go through the passages in the New Testament and in different places, but we'll anchor it around Exodus chapter 32. You know that, I don't know, I think it's a few months, or quite a few months ago, I shared a little about the Israelites walked through the wilderness and how God led them there and their things. So I think it's almost on the same lines, but just focused around the piece around prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love. Let's just look to the Lord in a word of prayer before we start. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time you've given us, O Lord, to worship thee earlier today, O Lord, to remember, O Lord, what you've done for us, O Lord. O Lord, as we spend some time in this subject, O Lord, I pray, O Lord, that you may give me the right words and thoughts, O Lord, to say what you want me to be sharing, O Lord. And be with each one of us, that it may be edifying and beneficial for each one of us, me first. In the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So, I just, you know, one of the things I've been looking also is that, you know, I spent quite some time in the Old Testament also, and I, you know, looking through the Old Testament and looking at how the Israelites walked with the Lord and what their failures were. And sometimes, you know, I kept thinking to myself, you know, should I be really looking at the Old Testament? Should I just focus on the New Testament? You know, those were the Jews, and, you know, and is there any relation with us? And so one of the verses that I saw in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, and I'm hoping that they can pull it out soon because I just want to make sure I finish on time. So Romans 15 and verse 4. Yeah. So whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of Scripture might have hope. Right? So everything that we see written in the Scripture is for our learning, and that includes the Old Testament. And we can go back to the Old Testament and we can see the Israelites and their walk with the Lord, and we can learn from it. And I think that's an important thing that we should understand. Churchill, Winston Churchill, that you know, all of us would have learned in our history books, you know, once said, "Those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it," right? We see with the Israelites in their walk with the Lord how much they repeated, you know, their failures. They didn't learn. When we think about our lives also, many, many times, you know, we don't really learn from our mistakes. We don't learn from past experiences that we have had. And so as we look at this scripture, as we looked at, you know, Romans 15:4, and, you know, that was, I think it's important to look back and then see what are those learnings that we can get from there. So let's just look at the run-up to this chapter, chapter 32. So I'm just going to go quickly through it. In Exodus chapter 14 and verse 31, we see that the Israelites, you know, it says, they feared the Lord and they put their trust in him. We then go on to the 15th chapter. And the 15th chapter, we see their sight, seeing what the Lord has done for them, that, you know, translating into song. And we can see the first recorded song in Scripture there in the 15th chapter. And then we go to the 16th chapter, and then we see them starting to grumble, you know, grumbling, you know, about their situation. But then we go to the 24th chapter, and in the 24th chapter, we can look at verse 7. You know, we see what happens in the 24th chapter, verse 7. Exodus 24, 7. Right? So then it says at the end, "Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, 'We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey.'" Right? It's an all or nothing. We will do everything, no conditions, that the Lord has said. And we see them in that situation. Now we come to the chapter 32. And let's just look at that first verse. "When the people saw Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, 'Come, make us gods, and who will go before us? As for this fellow Moses, who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him.'" So you see them. They just made a declaration, right? And now in chapter 32, we can see, you know, the clearest example of how we are prone to wander, right? They looked, you know, Moses had gone up, you know, they saw that fire in the mountain, and they must have thought, okay, you know, something must have happened to Moses. He's not coming back again. And we can see the clearest example of how in our lives too, you know, we see we are prone to wander. We can just go back, even if you look into the New Testament, and we see a lot of examples, you know, of this throughout Scripture. If you look at Matthew chapter 16, we don't have to turn to the Bible, I'll just explain that. In verse 16 and 17, you know, Jesus is asking his disciples, "Who do you think I am?" Right? And we know Simon Peter's response said, "You're Christ, the Son of the living God." And what did Jesus say? He said, "Upon you I'll build my church. You're the rock," right? What a moment it would have been if we imagine Simon Peter at that point. What a moment it would have been for him to think, "Oh Lord, look at what Jesus is telling me." He must have been so proud. He must have been so maybe full of himself, and looking at the other disciples and say, "See, I was so quick to answer. I got the answer right. This is what Jesus has told about me. This is what I'm going to be doing." But then we go just a few verses down. And what does Jesus say to him? "Get behind me, Satan." You see, it's our lives too, when we look at that. One moment we are so close, we are in the midst of his will and plan for our lives. We are in the church, we are involved in things. Sometimes, you know, it's our pride. It's our pride that comes in the way. And so I think this is something that we can see there. We can see in the life of Elijah. Right? One moment he's being so bold, right, when they were offering those sacrifices, and the prophets of Baal were offering the sacrifices, and the fire, you know, they said, "Okay, we'll see who will light that sacrifices," and nothing happened there. And when Elijah did, the Lord sent the fire and it consumed that sacrifice there. He was so confident. What happens in the very next chapter? Very next chapter, and he was, you know, so strong and so confident. What happened in the very next chapter? I think that's in 1 Kings chapter 18 or 19. What happens in the next chapter? We see a picture of him running away scared. You see a picture of him of abject depression and disillusionment. Is that not what we see in our lives too? We look at, in Revelation chapter 2, George John was talking about Robert Jeffries, his sermon earlier today, and I was listening to the same thing, and I had the same kind of thing. But he was talking about Revelation chapter 2, there, talking about the church of at Ephesus, and we see the same thing in the church of Ephesus. This was once a church that stood for the Lord, that had such a strong testimony, that was so strong in their doctrine and their beliefs, and so influential where God put them. But hardly 35, 40 years later, we see what the Lord says about that church. "You've forgotten your first love." Isn't that the story when we look into our lives? the mountaintop experience, right? I just think about it. Moses is up there on that mountain communing with the Lord God, in the presence of Lord God. And what's happening below? Failure, wandering away. How close, you know, how close. You know, there's this thing in soccer. I wrote as football, then I changed it. It's not football, it's soccer. You know, we call it soccer here. So you know when the most vulnerable moment for a soccer team is? It's when they score a goal, right? That's the same thing in our lives. Our most vulnerable moment is when we think, I've got it all under control. I'm at the top of my walk with the Lord. Nothing can go wrong. I'm so involved in the church ministries. I'm so involved in my reading of the scriptures. I think I'm doing really good. I'm in full flight. That's our most vulnerable moment. Why? Because the enemy stays so close to us. And I think that's especially true as we think about our families. Just look around, you know, our world, and we can see that.